Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank. Your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage. It's www.wintrust.com/Sox. Chuck Arfine here with Ryan McGuffey and Vinny Duber. And guys, in a perfect world, the White Sox will sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. But you know what? Life isn't perfect. The Rolling Stones sang, "You can't always get what you want."
Good tune.
But if you try sometimes, you find you get what you need. So on this edition of the podcast, we are going to go down the road, the very possible road, where the White Sox don't get Harper or Machado. And then what? Then what happens, Ryan?
Well, you have to allocate your resources elsewhere. That's what you have to do. But I have a saying, and are we getting right into it right now? Because if I have my plan, I don't even call it a plan B. I would call it plan 1A.
1A.
Yeah.
Or A minus.
Yeah, because if you land one of the two big fish, it's a grand slam, right? I mean, like, that's, you're vying. I think the White Sox think they're a player and know, have a good feeling, but they also are realistic and know that there are other teams whose windows are a little bit more appealing right now.
All right, so will they have minor moves?
Yes.
And then go into 2020 going big? Or will they make big secondary moves here in the winter of 2019 and go big again, potentially, in 2020? We each have come up with our own plan B or plan 1A. And it's coming up right here, right now, on the White Sox Talk podcast.
White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
That ball hit deep, way back. Deep to left
field. Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead.
Jimenez leaves the ballpark.
You can't put it on the board. Yes!
We got a chance for something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk podcast.
So here we go. We got our plans. Vinny Duber, let's start with you. What is your plan? Plan B. You want to call it a plan B? What do you want to call it?
I like plan A1, like the steak sauce. How about that?
Okay. Very Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. Plan A1 is next year, right?
Next year.
That's it. That's
all
what you do.
All in on next year.
You move on to next year. Chuck, you and me, before we sat down here recording, we're going over the list of the free agents on next winter's market.
That's a good one.
You can go 30 guys deep with all-stars. It's crazy. I say plan B, if that's what you want to call it, involves a Nolan Arenado. It involves a pitcher like a Garrett Cole, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Like a
Justin Verlander.
Talk to me. Justin Verlander and the guy that I have my sights on in particular. How about Madison Bumgarner?
Yeah, you're all in.
Let's see what he does.
Garrett Cole's my guy.
Garrett Cole might be the more reliable, certainly the more long-term move, because he's younger, and you would assume that he would be.
J.D. Martinez could opt out. Aroldis Chapman
will
could opt out.
I would think. I would think, yeah. J.D. Martinez will opt
Dylan
out.
Dylan Betances is a free agent in 2020.
So
Kenley Jansen.
All right, so this is the 2020 podcast, I guess.
Well, but you're just also assuming the Sox will get one of these guys. And if you have an opportunity to sign someone, acquire someone right here, right now, that fits, if not your plan, long-term, certainly in the short run, maybe you do it.
And Chuck, it's so nice you say that, because I have so many different plan Bs here for all of these different variations. And so I think if you're looking at saying, okay, we missed out on Harper, we missed out on Machado, who should be next on the list this winter?
Yes, that's what I want to know.
Marwin Gonzalez.
Okay. Mm.
on my list.
That's the guy I like, and I think 29 other teams around Major League Baseball would be interested in signing him as well. The guy can do everything. He literally played every position on the field last year besides pitcher and catcher. The offensive numbers took a huge dive between 2017 and 2018, so if we were talking a year ago and he was on the free agent market, he'd probably be one of the most sought-after free agents out there, and he still might be because of that versatility.
Is he your answer long-term? Yes or no? Are you signed to a 4-year
deal? Just in general?
Yeah.
And
what position? Or just you'll figure it out.
Well, I think the most attractive aspect of signing Marwin Gonzalez is because you're still rebuilding, because you're still developing guys who are in the minor leagues who you do not know at what position you are going to have a need in 1, 2, 3 years down the road. What better way to plan for that than to have a guy who can plug any number of different holes?
Who's his agent?
Scott
Boras. Just letting you know.
Who cares?
Nope.
I'm just throwing out that that's just. I don't want to say it's an obstacle or a hurdle, but it is a thing.
So, yeah. Chuck, you're pitching the Bryce Harper, Marwin Gonzalez package deal. Is that what I'm getting?
Yes, I am. I'm not going to get to my choices yet, but Marwin Gonzalez, I think it's very interesting.
On my list,
for him
he's right here.
Because
over here by
what
himself.
I like about him is that the Sox, if you want to call this rebuild something you put in the oven, it's not cooked yet. You don't know where you're going to need. Are you going to need a third baseman? Are you going to need a right fielder? Are you going to need a left fielder when you're ready to win? A first baseman. He's played all those positions. That's why I do like where you're coming from with Marwin Gonzalez.
Yeah, and I mean, if you sign him with the idea of him being your long-term third baseman, for example, then what happens if Yoan Moncada, who is your long-term second baseman, gets injured 2 years down the line? Well, you have a guy that can slide over there and play second base.
He's really like a Ben Zobrist. I mean, he really is.
Yeah. But even more so because you can stick him in center. You can stick him at short. You can stick him in first. There's so many options with him if you sign him.
Yeah, sorry, I looked at it here. First base, second base, third base, shortstop, left field. He's played all of them. Last year he played
every position but pitcher and catcher.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Literally every position.
He played center field too.
Yes.
Yep. Wow.
Yes.
All right.
When Vinny said that, I'm like, okay, check that box. My plan. I have a title for.
Hold on. But are you done with yours?
Well, that's just one. That's one aspect.
Does he have to empty the box?
Well, I don't know. I feel like we should. Do you want to go one by one or do you want to go player by player?
Let's let Guff have a turn here.
No, Marwin Gonzalez. I'm not going to elaborate on Marwin Gonzalez because I have him on my list and it makes a lot of sense. I have a title for my plan.
What is
it? It's
your
called
title?
Don't Be Stupid.
Don't Be Stupid.
That's the name of my plan.
I don't think Rick Hahn's ever been called stupid.
No.
So that's good.
But it's, you know.
It fits with Rick Hahn's makeup.
Matt Nagy has it on his play card. Be you. Stick to the plan. So if you don't get – I love that they're all in on these big names because the big names that they're in on are guys that make sense for the long term of the rebuild, the whole plan from the start. You know, Machado and Harper are 26, and you can envision them being here through the whole, you know, the whole parade route and everything.
Yeah.
Not every one of those guys on the free agent list, there's a lot of just kind of bridge guys, and that's what I have on my Don't Be Stupid plan. You have needs, no doubt. My biggest need for this team is the bullpen. So my assets would be spent in the bullpen. But again, don't be stupid. Be smart. I'm not saying go sign Craig Kimbrell. But I have Kelvin Herrera as my number one target for the bullpen. A guy you could put in the back end who has had success. Yes, he's had some injury. But I like the idea of having a guy you can depend on. You know, Soria was a guy last year you could depend on until you traded him. They need guys that you aren't necessarily going to be flipping this year. I think Herrera is a 2-year guy, maybe 3. I have Cody Allen on my list. I know Chuck doesn't like him, but I want some back end bullpen guys where I can put Nate Jones in a role where I think he should be in all along, the 6th or 7th inning, and have a 6th, 7th, 8th guy. I don't know. I'm not saying the White Sox are going to compete next year, but I do think with a stronger bullpen, they are going to be in games and certainly going to be able to close out games if they're not blowing leads in the 6th, 7th, and 8th, 9th inning. You're sitting on set, Chuck, going, Jesus. You know, guys that are being called up there are so many guys that had bullpen stints last year. This team needs some consistency, some veteran presence in the bullpen. That's where I would not be. When I say don't be, I have Joe Kelly on my list as well.
Okay.
These are Kelvin Herrera, Cody Allen, Joe Kelly. Those are three names I wrote down that would look nice in the White Sox bullpen.
All right, I'm going to add one name. This is one name that I have because the way I looked at the White Sox, what do they need? I mean, I'm not breaking news here. They're looking for starting pitching.
Yep.
They're looking for bullpen.
Yep.
They're looking for right field, left field. They're looking for an outfielder, probably a right fielder. And they're looking for a third baseman, right? So that's what you want. I looked at the closers. There's a lot this year.
Yeah.
But who fits the White Sox plan? In my book, it is a guy by the name of Jeurys Familia.
Yeah.
Because he's 29 years old, or he'll be 29. He's young. He's the youngest of all of these guys that we're talking about closers. You don't lose a draft pick if you sign him because he got traded this offseason or this midseason. 51 saves in 2016. He was a closer in New York, so he knows what it's like to be criticized and put into the fire in New York City. Pitched in the World Series. He dominated in the World Series. And how about this? In 352 career innings, guess how many home runs Familia has given up? 16.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So I'm liking him long term. Now you could say, well, they're not supposed to win in 2019, so why would you spend all this money on a closer in 2019? Well, you got to get a closer at some point, and you got all of them on the market this year. And if you're just going to put all your eggs in the 2020 basket when there's not going to be as many closers available and you just missed out on your window in here in 2019, I feel like you missed an opportunity to get someone. So Familia is my guy here in 2019.
I like it. I mean, the domestic violence thing that was dropped on his record is a little bit of a speed bump. It's not quite as bad as some of the others because it was dropped. But, you know, it's certainly a character flaw that might be a holdup, but it's not bad. Yeah, I mean, they need bullpen.
The age aspect, I think, there is an important one.
Yeah.
And I think that lining him up, I mean, you go get Craig Kimbrell. He's been around the block, you know what I mean? So you go get a guy who's a little more under the radar. You're going to save some money. And you get a guy who still lines up with that long-term plan. That's a great idea. Plus, we know how expensive, in terms of prospect capital, closers can be if you wait till the trade deadline to try and get a guy to add to the back of your bullpen. If they wait 2 years or 3 years to try and do that, you're talking about giving up a guy who's planned to be a part of your future.
And by the way, Familia, when all is said and done, could end up being an eighth inning guy.
Yeah.
Get another closer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my first pick for Plan B. I'm going to call it a Plan B.
Okay.
We all
call
whatever
you want.
We all have our own names.
Yeah. Call whatever you want.
I'm Plan B. Don't be stupid. And yours is
Plan Steak Sauce.
Plan Steak Sauce.
DBS, that's what's mine.
All right, yeah. Who else you got there, Vinny?
Well, I'll say this. I think that you calling Plan A Harper Machado makes sense. That being said, the White Sox stated Plan A for this offseason is to go get starting pitching.
Yep.
So Plan A is still out there. It's still available. If you don't get Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, getting starting pitching remains your biggest need. Heck, if you get Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, that doesn't plug the two holes that you got in your starting rotation if you're the White Sox. So going out and getting perhaps one of those one-year fill-in types to wait for Michael Kopech, to wait for Dylan Cease in 2020 or 2021, wherever that may be, but most likely 2020, you would be looking at guys like a J.A. Happ, perhaps, yeah. Guys like Gio Gonzalez, perhaps. These are not your Patrick Corbins, your Dallas Keuchels, the big names that will get people very excited, but they fill the immediate need that the White Sox have. And you look at these veteran starting pitchers, Rick Hahn talked about at the GM meetings, the value that a guy like James Shields brought the last couple of years as a clubhouse presence. A guy like J.A. Happ, a guy like Gio Gonzalez could provide that as well, benefiting these guys in the long term.
I have J.A. Happ on my list. Now, I think he's not a one-year deal. Garrett Richards just signed a two-year, $15 million deal. I think J.A. Happ, I just brought up to Chuck, he could get 3 years. I think it's possible. And I think he can get big money, 3 years for 45 or something. I mean, you're going to look at a guy like Garrett Richards who hasn't been healthy in 3 years, and he's going to get $15 million over two. Happ made $13 million last year. And if you go back and look at his body of work the last 3 years, his highest ERA is like 3.64. I like Jay. I think Jay Happ can be the perfect bridge. I don't mind paying. Look, if Jay Happ's 3 for $40 million, 3 for $42, I don't care. Like, the White Sox have the flexibility to sign these guys. Sox fans should not be concerned about contracts. When they see that, oh my God, I can't believe it. If you want guys to play here, veterans, bridge guys, long-term guys, you got to pay to play.
Well, and J.A. Happ specifically, any of these guys who might command more than a one-year deal, there's value beyond 2019. I mean,
absolutely.
If you're looking at drawing up that homegrown starting rotation for 2020, remember that the next time Michael Kopech steps on a mound, it'll be his fifth game in the major leagues. Dylan Cease, should he come up on the Kopech track up in late August of 2019, by the time 2020 rolls around, it's not like he's going to have this wealth of major league experience. And then you've got guys who have been here for a full year or more already, the Rodons, the Lopezes, the Giolitos, who are continuing to go through their own growing pains. Yeah. So,
let me ask you a question. I'm going to interrupt you. I'm sorry. How many homegrown pitching rotations have we ever seen?
Yeah, they're extremely rare.
rare.
Yeah.
They're not like, they're
they
nowhere.
Rarely exist.
They Correct. Don't exist. There's free agencies. The free yeah. agents are out. The Braves had Greg Maddux brought in, you know? Yeah. Yeah, they had some homegrown guys, but like all of these White Sox pitchers, and while they do have a lot of talent and they look like there's some can't miss guys in there, we just know they're not all going to be there. Right. You're going to have to sign veteran guys.
And so, by signing a veteran person like a Hap this year, you provide that safety net for down the road.
All right. Do you have any other pitchers in your plan? I thought there'd be this one name
nope.
that's in my plan. No.
I have three bullpen guys and J.A. Hap. So far, Vinny and I are pretty much A1 and Don't Be Stupid are kind of molding, meshing in here into one.
Okay. So I put a guy in here who is not a plan B type of pitcher, but it's a guy that I just really want on this team. And you know where I'm going with this.
I do.
His name is Dallas Keuchel.
Yep.
Four gold gloves. He's a left-handed pitcher. 2015 Cy Young Award winner. I was a little shaken when I went on MLB Network the other day, and they were talking about Dallas Keuchel, and they showed him giving up a home run last season to Trace Thompson. And I'm thinking, no offense, Trace.
Chuck texted me, actually.
I'm like, maybe they shouldn't sign Dallas Keuchel.
You were really shaking.
Yeah. He's like, I got to tell somebody
I
about
know,
this.
I'm like, wow. You know, but he and you made a great comp. He reminds you, Guff, and me a little bit of Mark Burley.
He does.
Left-hander. He's not a strikeout pitcher. Gives you innings, although he had one year that you didn't have.
He had a bumpy year, yeah. 2016, I think.
Yeah.
But you know what? Burley had a bumpy year in 2007. So,
right,
I mean,
right.
like, guys, he's not going to blow you away, overpower you. You're right. I mean,
obviously the gold gloves. He's got four of them, as I said. So, now, you wouldn't say signing Dallas Keuchel is technically a plan B. I'm just saying, like, if you can't get the two big, big, big fish, this is a great number two option for you if you end up getting a Dallas Keuchel.
I don't have Keuchel on my list, but you know where I stand.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
all in. I just like what he brings, everything he brings. Stability to the staff. He's been through a rebuild.
Yes.
He's seen one through from start to finish.
Won the World Series.
Won the World yep. Series. Won a Cy Young. Knows what it takes. Knows how to pitch.
Yeah.
I love all of that.
Yeah, and the rebuild thing.
Yep.
I mean, that I know you just said it, but I think we just need to like put on the brakes and just say how important that is. Here's a guy who literally went through it, and now he could be joining a team. I could see him signing up for it again.
Yeah, because you're not going through it again. You're kind of coming. You're on the just yeah. on the outskirts of seeing it through, and then being there, like seeing kind of the last year of the tough days, and then you know the fruits of your labor are right in front of you.
Yeah, you don't have to like sell it to him as much as other teams
Correct.
Or other players, because they'd be like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't know what there's too much unknown with that.
Correct.
Oh, no, it's not unknown. I did it.
Correct.
So all right, Dallas Keuchel, he's coming to the White Sox.
When we talked about those, wow, mark it down. We talked about those tantalizing names on the market next winter,
yeah.
You know, Cole, Bumgarner, you know, could these guys be the kind of John Lester cherry on the sundae for the rebuild? Well, Keuchel kind of fits that description.
Yeah.
He'd be a long-term guy to anchor a staff, to be that veteran presence. He would fit.
All right.
I mean, we're going to get Cole. We're going to get Keuchel and Marwin Gonzalez. So just any Astros.
Bring the Astros.
Yeah, we'll just bring the I'm in.
Okay. You got a third guy?
Well, I'll just say this. I think you've got a lower-tiered plan, you know. Maybe this isn't A1, B. Perhaps we're down in the C and D range. But you mentioned the potential need for an outfielder,
yeah.
for a starting outfielder here in 2019. And you got to look to some of those veteran names that are on the market. You know, your Adam Jones, your Curtis Granderson,
mm-hmm.
Andrew McCutchen might be a little more, you know, in demand from some other teams. And there's a guy the Miami Marlins just let go.
I was like getting nervous. I'm like, are we going to have the exact same list?
Derek Dietrich. He's
right.
not the most exciting name. He would be that lower tiered kind of guy, but he's a guy that could probably be an upgrade in your lineup.
1 year deal, 2 years? What can you get him, you think, for?
I don't know. I mean, he just got DFA'd by the Miami Marlins. So.
All right, so that's a minor league contract.
That's
your answer. All right.
That doesn't really.
Like I said, you're way down in the alphabet on this plan, but
yeah,
you know, these are just possibilities.
You're in the garbage bin, pulling him out of the
possibilities.
Okay, what do you got, Guff?
I also have an outfielder, and again, this guy's up there in age, but you mentioned Curtis Granderson. So is Adam Jones. I want Nick Markakis. Give me Nick Markakis. This guy has 2,237 career hits. Again, part of a rebuild, and saw a division title with the Atlanta Braves. Made his first All-Star team, although that was a sham because he should have been an All-Star years ago. Probably one of the most underrated hitters in the last decade.
He just gets it
in
done,
Major League
especially
Baseball.
This past season.
He gets it done. He plays like every game. He's leads by example. I really, honestly, like Markakis, I know he's 35 years old. Age catches up to you in this game. I don't think it would take a lot. At this point in his career, I'm sure winning matters to him. But I do think there's a hook with the White Sox to Markakis. You know, you're giving him right field, and you're saying, we have this guy in Eloy Jimenez. We have other guys coming. We like everything about what you've done. You're a model citizen. You're a model baseball player on and off the field. You fit exactly the kind of player we like, and you can kind of see this through. Two-year deal. Maybe there's a team option. I don't know. It's probably a short – it's definitely a short-term deal.
Yeah.
But I feel – don't you feel better about Nick Markakis in right field than Avi Garcia? Doesn't that just make you – aren't you able to just kind of go – does that
relax.
Make you feel like that? He's
yeah.
a left-handed hitter. You can put him near the top of the lineup. He provides protection for Jose Abreu and Eloy Jimenez and everybody
like
else in your lineup.
I like
I'm
it.
I'm going Nick Markakis.
He's been off the radar. I've seen his name on the free agent list for weeks now, but I haven't been like, oh, they got to get him.
288 career hitter, 358 career on base.
Yeah.
That feels good.
He had a good 2018 season out of nowhere.
Phenomenal 2018 season.
And provides some value, some long-term value in the impact he could have on some of those younger players.
All right, so you guys have heard me talk about these two outfielders. I'm going outfield too. I'm looking for a bridge. We need a bridge for not only, well, Jimenez will be up, but then, you know, there's Luis Robert and the other outfielders. They're not ready to come up yet. I've mentioned Michael Brantley before, who, by the way, was named the Comeback Player of the Year just recently, like 7 hours ago. But I keep going back to one guy, and it is Adam Jones.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be 33.
On my list.
Eloy Jimenez wants to be like him. He literally wants to be, he said, I want to be like Mike Trout, Miguel Cabrera, Adam Jones. I want to play like those guys did. And Adam Jones, is he a great outfielder? Is he a great hitter? No, I'm not signing him for, you know, the past. I'm signing him for what he can bring to this team today. And I just like his leadership. I like what he can bring to a lineup, bring defensively. He's not the player he was. I know he's not going to get some monster deal. He's going to get probably a one-year deal for like, you know, $6 or $7 million. I mean, what's he?
It's probably
he's coming off the worst season of his career.
Yeah.
So this is a guy who I want to put in here as a bridge to 2020. That's my guy, Adam Jones. And by the way, I got a quote I got to use here. He said this, how he feels about going into free agency right now after the season he just had. He said, Adam Jones, it's like being the senior that some people want that not everybody wants, as opposed to the sophomore that everybody wants.
That's a good line.
I take it back to when I was in high school and getting flirted with a little bit. But at the same time, I've got no stress. The Orioles have been good to me financially over my career. I just know that I have a lot to offer someone else and have a lot of gas in the tank.
I have under Nick Markakis Adam Jones because I feel like Adam Jones might make a little bit more sense just for those 2 years. And I like you said,
I would even sign him to 2 years.
Yeah,
I would do it.
I think there's a lot of – I see a lot of similarities. Like the types of players on and off the field, the type of baseball citizens, if you will.
Yeah.
Markakis and Adam Jones kind of are the same guy in that aspect. And I love the Eloy Jimenez comp or making that reference to – because I remember when he said that.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be like Adam Jones. And I was just like, oh, that's interesting.
Right.
I just think it would be great. You're just like, okay, fine. Well, we're just going to put him next to you.
We'll give you Adam Jones.
And then just you guys do your thing.
Yeah.
Great spokesman for the team.
Yes, he is.
You know, these veteran guys can be great spokesmen at this point in the rebuild where the White Sox are. And some fans might think, like, saying the word rebuild right now should be changing, but that's not – the rebuild is still right here. When they've won – like, the Atlanta Braves last year were in their rebuild. Yeah, and they won 90 games. I would say their rebuild is officially hit. They can move on from – they can throw the word rebuild out in the trash. The White Sox are in the rebuild still. It's – I think I've said this before. We've dipped to the complete bottom of it.
Yeah.
And now it's coming out. These are the perfect guys to add to that list.
All right, so anyone else on your list? Have we hit them all?
My list is – oh, my list has been exhausted. I just want to point out, I think Guff's plan should be renamed the – sign the 2009-2010 Baltimore Orioles outfield plan.
That's fine.
Because that's what you got. You got two-thirds of it right there.
Yeah. As long as it's not like the Brady Anderson outfield
is
plan.
Is Nolan Reimold still kicking around? That's who you need to get to complete
it,
that.
The catcher who just had a terrible year Matt Wieters?
Matt Wieters?
Yeah, we're
good.
You could
sign Nelson Cruz, too.
I have Nelson Cruz.
I have Cruz on here, too.
On my list, but – Nelson Cruz is on my list. There's a caveat to Nelson Cruz being on my list. It would require you signing a few of these other guys. If you're signing just Nelson Cruz, I don't like it. Doesn't make sense to just bring him in by himself. 38 years old when the season starts. Nelson Cruz does fit a gap here if you're bringing in maybe a couple of these bullpen guys, Marwin Gonzalez, and then maybe, okay, well, Nelson Cruz is somehow no one signed him. We'll sign him. I don't think Nelson Cruz makes a lot of sense on this team right
okay,
now.
Okay, I want to go back to
one more name.
Oh, what's your name?
My other name on here is not a free agent, but it's more of a keep an eye on the Seattle Mariners and what they're doing, because they've already told you that Edwin Diaz is untouchable, yet it appears to get Robinson Cano off their books, they're about ready to make him touchable. So I just have Mitch Haniger on the list as a keep an eye on what Seattle's doing, because I'm confused in some aspects. If they're taking on dead money, yes, they're getting prospects, but if they tell you three guys are untouchable and they're starting to unload those guys, your boy, Edwin Diaz.
Yes, he's my
I would just say keep an eye on what they're doing.
Okay.
And if Mitch Haniger, as we get into, like, very similar to the Christian Yelich situation last year, where Yelich was like, okay, I clearly want out of this, and I'm going to meet with Derek Jeter, and we're out, and it's February, keep an eye on Mitch Haniger.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got to talk about third base and options at third base. And something that I said on a previous podcast that I got to reevaluate. Actually, I did reevaluate, and I got some thoughts about third base. That's next on the White Sox Talk podcast.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Sox. Members FDIC. Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
We're back on the White Sox Talk podcast. And so on the podcast previous to this one, we had Bob Nightingale on. And I said on the podcast that I think this when we're talking about Mike Moustakas, he thinks he'd be a good fit for the White Sox. I'm thinking, you know what? That seems to be the realistic expectations for the White Sox for third base. They'll end up with Mike Moustakas. And then I came to the realization that that's probably not a good idea. And the reason is that if they don't get Manny Machado, okay, who's going to play third base? You can go into 2020, and your options are Arenado, if he doesn't re-sign with the Rockies, Anthony Rendon, Josh Donaldson. Or kind of where we're kind of staring at things right now, if Nick Madrigal ends up being the second baseman they think they drafted, he is the second baseman, Moncada will be your third baseman. Do you want to sign Mike Moustakas to a three-year contract when, and then all of a sudden now you've pigeonholed yourself? What are you going to do about third base? So or Moncada or Nick Madrigal, so you're in a little bit of a pickle. So maybe you sign Moustakas for 1 year, I'm fine with that. But if not that, Moustakas is probably not the answer long-term for the White Sox. So I just want to put that out there.
Giving Yoan Moncada a shot at third base, be it as soon as 2019 or a year later, to me, makes way more sense as a long-term plan than a couple years of Mike Moustakas. And that's nothing against Mike Moustakas.
Right.
But they have the hope, the White Sox do, still, even after his first full year in the majors, that Yoan Moncada is going to hit that ceiling that he had when he was the number one prospect in baseball. If they think that offensively that's the guy he can be, you got to keep him on the field.
Right.
And if you've got a guy like Nick Madrigal, who they think can be tremendous, they said he was the best all-around player in college baseball last year, you think he's going to be a long-term part of your team as well. He seems best suited for either second base or shortstop. So, of course, you want to free up room for him. It makes a whole lot of sense that they would give Moncada that shot at third base, and especially to do so in 2019, a year when you're not expected
in
to contend.
In 2019.
It's a year when you're not expected to contend for a playoff spot. So in 2018, Yoan Moncada struck out so many times.
Yeah.
Down the road, that could have big payoffs, positive payoffs, because of what he experienced this past year. In a year, 2019, where you might not be expected to contend for a playoff spot, let Yoan Moncada go through those growing pains at third base if down the road you feel it could yield an everyday third baseman on a perennial championship
contender. Okay, and this is why another reason why I brought this up, because if they don't get Machado, who's playing third base in 2019?
Good question. And if they do get Machado, well, who's playing third base in 2019?
Machado is.
Yes. Manny Machado wants to play shortstop.
Well, I'm paying him $300 million. He's going to play third base. Yeah, that's where he's better.
That just messes up a lot of stuff.
It does, but
then maybe that'll be the answer. But
It's a really good take that Vinny just...
And the reason why I brought it up is that we're talking about a plan B. If you don't get Machado, how are you solving third base? Not only in 2020, but in 2019 with this Moncada-Madrigal thing
I like the Mankata. I didn't think about him playing third base at all this year. I actually kind of like that a lot, so learning on the fly.
And sorry to interrupt, but then you put Yolmer at second base.
For the time being, yes. If you and also you then, I mean, we know how flexible the White Sox are. Maybe they go out and get a free agent second baseman if they're planning to put Yoan Moncada at third base when spring training starts.
Or maybe Marwin Gonzalez is the answer.
Maybe Marwin Gonzalez is the answer on multiple fronts.
And, yes. And just to go away, just to, you know, spin it a different way and stay away from Moncada for a second, is, you know, I agree with you on the Moustakas. Just there's really not a fit for like a multi-year deal there. I mean, I'm more willing to gamble, you know, assuming no Machado, let's say even no Arenado next year. You know, Josh Donaldson's a free agent again. What if he has another big year? And you can bring Donaldson on a shorter-term multi-year deal next year to play third base. He can play.
And then where does Moncada go?
DH. I don't
where
know.
That's what's going on here.
That's Rick Hahn's good problem to have.
That's
right?
I was spinning it a different way than Vinny was, because maybe Donaldson, maybe it's, I don't want to say platoon, because you're not going to platoon with a young guy like Moncada, but you don't. I just think that it's a good problem to be in. It's a good situation. I think Moncada would thrive at third base. I feel like he would. To me, it makes a lot of sense. I've never thought about that until you brought it up next to me, that learning on the fly, assuming that we think free agency goes the way we're kind of planning this out on this podcast, if it goes the way we're talking about with these type of names, it makes a lot of sense to, if you're going to move him eventually, just to move him in 19.
Yeah. It just... You know, as I was thinking it through, this third base, it's a quagmire. It really is.
And it has been for a long time.
And it's going to be, whatever happens, it's going to be a quagmire.
Yeah,
Because either you get Machado, great. Okay, you assume he's going to play third base, okay. And if he does, okay, then Madrigal's coming up. And then what about Moncada? If you don't get Machado, when do you move Moncada to third? If you are going to be doing that,
I honestly don't think you have to. But that's
there's a lot of interesting pieces with this whole maze.
Yeah, but it's kind of like when Nick Hostetler would tell us, you know, you don't worry about drafting Nick Madrigal going, well, we have a second baseman there and we think he's going to be long term. No, you take the best player.
Right.
So if you're signing the best player or you're the best option for a guy is X, you worry about those right. are great problems to have. You have three or four options.
I agree. And we don't know about Tim Anderson long term. I mean,
no.
That's
a great point too.
And Madrigal, they say, you know, could maybe move to shortstop, but we're also not athletic enough to really be that shortstop.
You also know what we're doing here. We are just saying Nick Madrigal is going to pan out and be a Gold Glover too.
You don't know.
So there's a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, there is. But I have all the answers. The answer is
what was the name of your plan? I like we got
plan B is your answer.
Plan B, A1, don't be stupid.
All right, that's going to be a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. A guy who's never been plan B, he's Mr. Plan A all day. Hawk Harrelson.
Thanks, our Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over!